And a great pleasure right now to welcome to our show today two great talented gentlemen. We had a chance to talk with one of them a few months ago when he had a new CD out, but they have one together right now. We're going to talk about that, called The Sunday Set. They are great entertainers, musicians, singers, joined by Billy Stritch and Jim Caruso today. And gentlemen, great to talk with you. How are you both?
We're doing great, Doug. Nice to talk to you again after these few months.
Yeah, I had a chance
very
to talk.
Very well, and it's nice to meet you, Doug.
Yeah, I was just going to tell to Billy, we had a chance to talk a few months ago. But, Jim, I feel I know you a little bit because I found you on your cast party videos on YouTube. So I feel like I know you a little bit. Good to have a chance to chat with you.
Good. I'm so glad.
I think we have kind of a mutual friend. Billy and I talked about it a few months ago. He worked with her, Debbie Wildman. I kind of discovered her like everybody did during the last year and a half. And I know you had her on your show. I've had her on mine. And I guess we've all made a new friend, a great talent in her own right.
Absolutely. Isn't she a great, great talent? Oh, my gosh. Her voice is extraordinary, and those impressions are priceless.
I know you had her on, Jim. I guess she did one from her car. She did Judy for you around, I think it was about a year ago, Christmas time, and it was a great, great spot.
That's right. I did a weekly virtual cast party, which is similar to what Billy and I do at Birdland every week. But when we were shut down, I took it to the to YouTube. And she was a great guest. And evidently, the sound inside her car is really good. It's like being in a studio.
Right.
So she did a lot of her recording in her car, parked in her garage. So.
Yes, in the car. And also, I think her next-door neighbor bangs on the walls if it's too loud.
Sometimes. That's right. I've heard her say that.
She's forced to the car. And, you know, last Christmas last year of 2020, I was doing my live stream as well. And I wrote her and I said, would you be willing to do a reading of "Twas the Night Before Christmas," A Visit from St. Nick, you know, as Judy? And she wasn't even familiar with the poem. And I sent it to her. And she did the cutest thing from the back of the car, but all in Judy's inflection. He arose, such a clatter. This is hilarious. Judy Garland. So this is a girl that we both love. We have not met her face to face. I'm dying to. One of these days she's going to come here, or I'm going to, you know, we're going to go there and actually get to know her, you know, face to face. But we've made a great friend through the internet for sure.
And she has the feeling somehow. She's younger than I guess all three of us. We'll say that. But she's had the kind of that feeling of the Judy Garland and the American popular songbook somehow growing up in England.
Yep.
Amazing.
Yep, she sure does. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's get back to you two gentlemen, because we want to talk about the new album out called The Sunday Set, a live set, and I had a chance to listen to it a few times already. I'll be playing a few cuts as we put this in the show. But now, you two guys have known each other a while, I guess, working at Birdland together, mostly in New York City, right?
We know each other from Texas. We're both from Texas. I'm from Houston, and Jim's from Dallas. And back in the 80s, we both had vocal groups that we were doing, working in nightclubs, you know, down in Texas and in that whole region. And so we got to know each other years ago. And,
okay.
We both moved to New York right around the same time in early 90s. But, you know, we have known each other a long time. So, you know, we have this great rapport on stage and off stage. And I think it really comes through on this new album. You know, it's a live album that we recorded at the Birdland Theater a while back. You know, actually, this is a thing that we did pre-COVID, but it was recorded, and then Jim went back and discovered it and listened to it and said, you know, this isn't bad. So our record company, Club 44, happily agreed that it was good and worth a release. And, of course, we love live albums. I love the whole feel of a live album. And So we're real excited to have a CD coming out on Friday. It's just thrilling for us.
It's one of the positive things that happened during the shutdown. You know, we all certainly had a lot of time to sit around and listen to recordings. And I turned this on and I thought, I sent it to Billy and I said, this is good, isn't it? And it's all of a sudden we have a product.
I know.
Couldn't be happier.
Yeah, Jim, when we talked to Billy, or I talked to Billy a few months ago, we kind of talked about, of course, he's been in New York a long time, and I grew up there, and he had a chance, obviously, to listen to the great WNEW radio. I guess, Jim, did you have a station like that growing up in Texas where that played the American Popular Songbook, or how did you kind of get into this type of music?
Well, I've always been interested. Both my parents were musicians, and my mother was a great piano player and played the Great American Songbook and sang and just loved it all. So that music was always playing. She was a huge Andy Williams fan, Perry Como. She liked those guys. And so I've always listened to this. And when I started singing in clubs, you know, I mean, I'm not an R&B singer. I'm not a blues singer. I'm not a reggae singer particularly.
No.
Sometimes. But I mean, this is what I love and this is what I listen to. So, you know, Billy and I have been friends for almost 40 years, maybe more than 40 years.
Who's counting, Jim?
I know. Well, evidently we are. But we have the same, so much of the same taste in music and in entertainment. So this project and just working together has always been such fun for us.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're all probably roughly the same age group. And again, our growing up, we didn't grow up with this kind of music necessarily as the popular music of the time, although it's always been there. But to kind of gravitate toward it, I did it. My parents were older when they had us, so they had the records. And then, of course, listening to stations like WNEW. And then I started doing a show like this in college radio. So we found our way to it a little different route, I guess, than growing up when it was actually written, right?
Absolutely. Well, I didn't have a radio station to listen to. We just had pop and rock, and that's all I knew about. But I, you know, my love for this has been long-standing.
Talk about some of the cuts. Go ahead, Billy. Yeah.
I was just going to say, there was a radio station in Houston that played this, but strangely enough, and I think maybe we covered this when we spoke before, I first heard this music on TV variety shows. And Sonny and Cher, and because Cher would always sing a great ballad like Am I Blue. I remember her singing this stuff when I was like 9, 10, 11 years old and falling in love with this music back then. So it was through TV, and also there was a great station in Houston called KQUE. It's long gone, but they played the Great American Songbook as well. So, but my parents weren't musicians. You know, I kind of found it on my own, and thankfully it was there for me.
Yeah. Yeah, you mentioned, we did talk about the variety shows. We kind of caught the tail end of it in our growing up, but thankfully to YouTube, you can see some of the, you know, going back to the 50s and the early 60s, you see some of those great Ed Sullivan shows, obviously, where you can see these artists.
Yeah, YouTube is such a wonderful thing. You can find almost anything you want on YouTube. It's so great that everything is available now.
Yeah, no doubt. Let's talk about some of the songs on it. And you got some great, not only great songs, but I think the arrangements, people are going to really get a kick out of how you two both work together. Just kind of the arrangements, You Are My Sunshine is one that kind of pops out right now. Did you kind of put that together on your own, or is that an arrangement you had from somewhere else? It's a great chart you put together.
I'm so glad you brought that up.
Yeah,
because
here you go.
It goes right back to what we were saying. That is kind of a takeoff on an Andy Williams arrangement.
Right. I thought it sounded like something, right? Yeah.
Yep. But then he kind of taught it to Donnie, a very young Donnie Osmond, like a 6-year-old Donnie Osmond. And when Donnie was first on the Andy Williams show with all of his brothers, he did it, and it was like almost a joke, because it's all choreographed and with bumps and grinds, and it's hilarious on this little tiny kid. Donnie happens to be a friend of ours, and we thought it would be such fun to learn that arrangement. Cut to, we learned it, and we really love it. So it's a big part of our repertoire at this point.
Jim, didn't you do I think I saw a video you did on YouTube maybe a year or two ago, where you did one of the great, speaking of Andy Williams, who the Williams brothers worked with Kay Thompson. Didn't you do some of their tribute to her, some of her arrangements on some Christmas songs?
Well, in our Christmas show that we do with our friend Clea Blackhurst, we do Kay Thompson's arrangement of Jingle Bells.
Right, that's what I saw,
but of course, both of us back in 2008 were involved with Liza Minnelli's show called Liza's at the Palace on Broadway, and the whole second act of that show was a recreation of Kay Thompson's act with the Williams brothers. I was musical directing the show. Jim was one of the four Williams brothers. And we did a ton of that material. And a lot of that actually is on YouTube as well. And of course, you know, that it all connects through Andy Williams and Kay Thompson and Liza and all of that. You know, we're influenced by all that, all those people, for sure.
And they're great arrangements. I mean, it just builds off the, I don't know a lot about music other than what I hear, but it builds off the melody and kind of goes in different tangents, doesn't it?
Well, that's what Kay Thompson really specialized in. She was the vocal arranger at MGM for many years, but she also was a mentor to Liza and Frank Sinatra and Mel Torme. And she would take these standards that you've heard 1,000 times and really turn them inside out. So they'd be completely different than the way you know them. And that's certainly what we love to do. And I'd like to think she would be happy to know that that's still, you know, going on by people who love and adore her.
Oh, no doubt.
Yep.
Yeah, great, great. I mean, you can tell both of you guys are enjoying it, or if you don't enjoy it, you're good actors, but I think you enjoy it.
We actually enjoy ourselves.
Yeah, yeah,
yes, great.
A lot of fun. Speaking of Birdland, which we just mentioned before, and again, I know Billy and Jim, you both work there, and I guess you're doing some gigs coming up, but you got a couple of songs in tribute to Birdland on the album too, right?
Oh, yeah, we do. Well, I mean, we both felt like it was a no-brainer to actually do some tributes to the room in the room. And so I sing, you know, the very famous George Shearing song, Lullaby of Birdland,
right,
which everybody kind of knows. But then we found one that's not so well known that Jim sings. Jim, tell them about that one.
Barry Manilow wrote a song called Lovin' at Birdland. And it's a great song. It sounds like it was written in, you know, 1949.
Right.
It's a great, great standard that's not a standard yet, and hopefully will be at some point. Maybe we'll help make that happen.
I think we will.
I think that's our goal anyway. It's a great song. And so we have those two Birdland songs celebrating the room that we have worked every single week for 18 years. That's got to be some kind of crazy record.
Yeah, that's incredible. And again, for people not aware, Birdland, of course, very famous ballroom and club in New York City, right off Times Square, right, if I remember correctly?
Yep,
that's right.
Yep.
That's right. One of the greatest music rooms in the world.
Yeah, great. And people are coming back now, Billy, or both Jim. I mean, you both work there. I mean, people are coming back.
Yeah, we opened back in July. So we were really we're one of the first clubs to get going again. And we've been doing the Monday night. Well, the club's going in July and August. It was kind of a soft opening. And then by last fall, everything was going full out. And, you know, it's a fully vaccinated venue. So, you know, you have to show that and you have to wear a mask and everything. But, you know, so that's the way we're able to, you know, keep going even through this latest little bit of a setback. You know, thank God. It hasn't, you know, touch wood, it has not affected us, and we're able to keep going.
Sure,
so,
sure.
You know, people love the music, and they're very respectful of the rules, you know, because people who come really want it to keep going as much as we do.
People want to get out of the house.
That's right. Yeah. And listen, if it takes throwing a little piece of fabric over your face and showing, you know, your vaccine proof at the door, come on in. What are you waiting for? We have a ball, and it feels like life is able to continue. And we've just had a ball there the last couple of months. It feels very good to be back in front of actual live people.
Yep.
What do you do, weekends, or do you do full week shows? What do you do? What's your schedule like?
Well, I mean, the club is open 7 days.
Mm-hmm. Every day, yeah, with two rooms, one upstairs and our new Birdland Theater downstairs. So there's, you know, four shows a night there.
Oh, wow.
And Billy and I host Cast Party, which is the open mic that we've been doing there for 18 years. And then Billy has a run coming up of his, a concert run of his.
Yes, I have a big birthday coming up. So this is I'm celebrating it in February on the 10th, 11th, and 12th. in the Birdland Theater. So I'm excited about that.
Oh, great. I had that one last year, Billy. That big one.
You? All right. Yeah, here we go. We're all the same age. Yeah, I figured, you know.
But none of us look it. Well, you guys don't look it.
Well, thank you. You don't look it either. I see pictures of you. I know what you look like. I figured it's better to acknowledge it, not avoid it, because it's going to be no matter what.
What can you do? Yeah. You know, you'd rather be here than leave early.
That's the truth.
Yeah. That's plenty the truth. Of time where we're going later, but might as well stay here as long as we can, right? Playing the music.
Yep.
Just a couple other songs I want to let the audience know about that are on. Now, you do a great tribute, of course, to Frank Sinatra, a medley of his songs. Of course, 42nd Street, not too far from there, when in New York, where you're performing. And another one I got a kick out of, Peggy Lee, right? Didn't she have a hit, a doodling song? That's a fun one. Cy Coleman.
Oh, yeah, Cy Coleman and Carol and Lee. That's a fun song. I think Jim and I both probably heard that song originally on an old episode of the Dick Van Dyke Show.
I was just going to mention that. That's where I heard it,
yes,
I think, first.
Absolutely, yes. And I've always loved it. And Blossom Dearie made a great recording. Blossom and Cy made a great recording of it. And it's kind of one that we've sung off and on over the years. So when we were putting the show together, we thought, oh, this is like a cute little... It's a bauble, you know. It's just a little trifle of a song, but everybody always feels good when you do it. I mean, it's just one of those little sing-songy moments, and it's jazzy, and it's Cy Coleman. So, you know, that's my favorite composer of all. So, yeah.
Yeah, just a fun list of songs that you have, good variety as well. And, Jim, before we wrap up, I know you were out in Vegas recently. I head out there as often as I can. You were at the Smith Center. Weren't you kind of doing the cast party show out there?
That's right. We both were. Billy and I were both
there. Billy, too. Okay. Yep.
Yeah, we try to do cast party we'll come to your house and do it, frankly. We love celebrating talent all over the country, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, San Francisco, Chicago, London. But, yeah, Las Vegas is one of our favorites because we get to play that incredible space. The Smith
Center. It's a great theater. I've been there a bunch of times. Yeah, great theater.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And I mean, there's such great talent out there.
Oh, gosh.
You had Clint Holmes on, didn't you? Clint Holmes, who's based out there.
Always.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Always.
He's been a great friend and real supporter of ours there, and dragging in his friends that are great singers and introducing us to the community there, which is, of course, an extraordinarily talented one.
Yeah.
It's kind of a throwback, and I wish, you know, I guess you guys too, we could go back to those days of the Rat Pack in Vegas in the 50s and 60s, what it was like. You kind of keep that going in a sense, right? The after hours kind of shows where they would all gather at the hotel at midnight, right?
It definitely has that feel. You know, it feels like it's, what's great is that it's spontaneous and it's got the feeling that anything could happen, and indeed anything does happen.
Right.
It's not planned. It's funny. It's light. It's just a great moment in time that happens. Any given cast party is going to be different from any other one.
Yeah.
And it's so great to be able to take it on the road. We go to LA, we go to Florida, we go to the Smith Center. We've been to London. Hopefully we'll do that again. It's just great. It really has expanded. And what's great is also is we do it every Monday in New York, and we have people who make annual trips to New York, and they stay over a Monday.
Oh, great.
They want to make sure they, you know, so it's become that. And people all over the world have found out about it. So it's really taken on a great life of its own, and people all over the world, you know about it.
Yeah. When you come to Florida, I know you were just in Florida, weren't you, Billy? But when you come back to Florida to do that particular show, please let me know. I'd love to come and see you guys. Do you usually do Miami area, or do you go all over?
We have done Miami. Yeah. We've done many in Delray Beach and Palm Beach, and we have a Florida gig coming up, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. In Orlando.
In Orlando in April, I believe.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that'd be great. Maybe I can come over and see you in Orlando. Yeah, what do you put on your websites? Well, I'll check it out. So I'd love, love to come see you.
Oh,
guys.
Absolutely.
Yeah, great.
You can go to castpartynyc.com.
Oh, great. I'm going to write that down right now so I remember. But
nyc.com,
yeah, that's great. In April in Orlando, we'll check that out. But again, for the folks out there, get this new CD, the Sunday Set, and available as a CD and a download, I imagine.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yep.
And you can go for the download right now at Club 44 Records. Is it club44records.com, right?
I believe so, yes. It comes out on Friday. And it's on all the streaming platforms. You know, you have to do that now because so few people have a CD player anymore, honestly. So
that's true. Yeah.
Yep.
I don't think anybody knows what a record is if you're under 40.
Right. That's right. Except, well, now people are doing LPs, and which is so cool. And of course, we're begging a record company to do some LPs.
Oh, great! Yeah, I've seen them in stores. They are a little bit out there. People are, I guess, retro records, but yeah.
Yeah, it's just so great to see the artwork big again and to read the liner notes.
Right.
And not, you know, need a microscope to read things.
That's it. Well, Billy Stritch, Jim Caruso, real pleasure to catch up with you for a minute. I know you're on a busy schedule, but thanks again for being with us, and we'll play some definitely cuts for the CD, but we'll talk to you soon, and please keep in touch. Thanks for being our guest today.
Doug, great.
Thanks, Doug. It was great to meet you.